Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ecology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprint, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this October the 1st on the West Coast, now October the 2nd on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We would also like to welcome anyone in the U.S. military listening around the world on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on blogtalkradio.com. Boy, it's been a busy day. I've again done over 2 hours of radio. Some of it's my own fault for calling into a show. In fact, tonight's guest's show. But I don't regret having called in. We have a couple of topics that we're going to talk about tonight, which are forefront in everybody's mind and everyone's consciousness. And as we like to say, talk show host Michael Herzog, nicknamed what I do as a researcher, as going down the rabbit hole, we're going to go down the rabbit hole tonight, and we're going to tell you some things that you're certainly not hearing from the mainstream media. I should also welcome all the alphabet agencies that are listening to the show, too. I understand they appreciate a lot of the information that we share tonight, and we want them to know that we're on their side. If they're doing the right thing, if they're after the truth, then we can work together. Certainly, they're going to glean some information from tonight's show. Who is my guest? Well, he's becoming quite frequent here on the show and very welcome by many of the listeners. He has his own radio show, A Marine's Disquisition, heard on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on Blog Talk Radio .com 5 days a week, and he is on many, many shows now, especially with a lot of the research he's doing with respect to his patriotism, which is unquestionable. He is being heard. He's got a loud voice, and for a reason. He's very passionate about his love for this country and what he sees going on. His name is Drew Malone Raines III, former U.S. Marine, 1967 through 1977. Drew, welcome to Evident Footprints.
Glad to be here.
Glad to have you here.
I mean, it's getting to the point where I don't even know if I'm going to sleep or stay awake for another 2 days.
Well, it's been a rough month, I think, for all of us who have been going down the rabbit hole. And you end up sacrificing the sleep. You get committed to this cause, and you just roll with the punches, so to speak.
So, amen. That's exactly what I do.
I want you to know, from all the messages I get from my listening audience, and even visitors to my website, people are very appreciative of the work you're doing, and you need to hear that. When
I want to know what work I'm doing. I'm just trying to get the truth out there. That's all I'm doing.
Well, that's a job. That's supposed to be the job of the mainstream media, isn't it? And, of course, that's not happening. Now, there are two topics that I'd like to discuss, Drew. And I know some of these have come to you by way of your show. In fact, I think I was a guest on your show when some of these text messages came through about the swine flu having reached some men on ship out at sea. Now, I haven't seen many pigs floating in the ocean. I don't think I've ever seen a pig floating in the ocean. And it's sort of tongue-in-cheek. Obviously, how does one contract such a flu on a ship? And you've got quite a bit of information that's sort of filtered your way as a result of some very courageous wives of military personnel in the Navy who have come forward describing some catastrophic events that are occurring, and none of this is being reported in the media. Would you like to share some of that with the listeners?
Where do you want to start at? I mean, it's getting to the point where we've got a group of Navy, Marine Corps, Coast Guard wives that live and are stationed in California, Southern California, around what is commonly referred to as Miramar Naval Air Station, which is now the United States Marine Corps Air Wing on the West Coast. And they used to be at El Toro, and to make a long story short, the Carter and Clinton administration closed the El Toro Marine Corps Air Station down, which was one of the most modern on the West Coast outside of Miramar. Anyway, make a long story short, these wives participate in my program, or did participate in my program on a daily basis for the last 7 months. Starting off with one of the girls that is the wife of the son of a Marine that I was stationed with in the 1960s. And we met up, or he ran across me on some research and one day and found out that I was doing talk radio on American Voice Radio. And about a week or 2 weeks after that, I was summarily dismissed from the American Voice Radio Network by Mr. Hayes, Francis Stephen Hayes. He likes to be called Frank Stephen, but his real name is Francis Stephen Hayes, and he summarily dismissed me from his radio because I was going after the truth. And the truth is that the Informational Freedom Network is being infiltrated by manhandlers or control operatives. The classic example is, it goes back to where if you've got an advertiser in the mainstream media and you start talking bad, well, your advertiser stops paying you. That's why Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh and Hannity and Holmes and all the rest of them on mainstream radio don't tell you this story. And what is this story? This story is about the United States Navy basically running tests with naval personnel, shooting them up with a vaccine to combat, according to them, a combat H1N1 and H5N1. Both of these are flus. Bottom line, it didn't work. It backfired, and they ended up having to sequester and quarantine a ship at sea. Now, what was the name of the ship? Don't know. Why? Because I was informed by the girls that they were informed when they first started talking about this story that was classified and that they could get a doo-doo if they mentioned the name of a ship. They also said that they could not mention the names of personnel on this ship because that was also part of the classification. However, word about different ships have leaked out, and we know that the USS New Orleans was one of the ships involved in this quarantine that went down in April and May. The government went out there and started tacking lies onto what the girls brought forth to Bob Chapman and myself on my show, and they took the truth that about the quarantine, about the major problems and even death on board ship, and they started slapping on, well, it was this ship. Well, this ship, the name of this ship that they put out there, specifically the USS Boxer, it wasn't on the Pacific Coast. It was in the Atlantic. Then they tacked on another ship. Well, that ship was in the Gulf of the Mediterranean. How could it possibly be one? Well, you know, then it came down to where it was being thrown about around the world with all these little tack-on lies, and now, you know, it got up to the point where there was like 20 sailors were dead and depending on which email you got and what part of the world you were in, it was just flagrantly misrecitals of the truth. And it's been tiring for the last 2 weeks trying to answer the people that I've known for years that I haven't talked to for a couple of years coming out of the woodwork. People that have walked away from me because they thought I was, they believe Francis Stephen Hayes and Colonel Bo Gleitz and others out there that, well, Drew Raines was never in the Marine Corps. Or if he was in the Marine Corps, he never left the United States. I've got pictures of me in Vietnam. I've got pictures of me in Cambodia. I have pictures of me having dinner with Ambassador Swank in Phnom Penh, Cambodia, and attaché affairs, Mr. Ingalls, who's 6'6". When he was alive, he was 6'6" and had 5 kids and is married to a French lady. If I wasn't stationed with him, how would I know this information? The man, I love that man. He was honest. He spoke 7 languages. I have pictures of me in London, England. I have pictures of me at NATO in Brussels, in Munich, Germany. People say, well, Marines don't go to these places. I got news for you. Marines are in every clime and every place around the world, at every major embassy around the world, and some not so major. We were in Cambodia, fighting in Cambodia. We were in Laos, fighting in Laos. I only went to Laos one time. I was on a C-130, and it lasted 20 minutes. But I know a whole regiment that went in there. Not a full regiment, 2 platoons. And I was there when they embarked from that C-130. How do I know that? Because I was being medevaced out of Cambodia to the medical center in Singapore.
Yeah, and the government's always denied ever having been in Cambodia.
Correct.
Again, Laos.
You know, and here I am. I'm being medevaced out of Cambodia, but the closest plane that could pick me up and get me to a hospital to save my life had another mission to drop off these 2 platoons, four platoons. It was like a company of Marines in Laos, and they had to go there first. But if they didn't pick me up and take me along with them, it would delay me getting picked up by 6 hours, and maybe I might not live. But they picked me up. And they got me to the hospital. It took 2.5 hours to fly what normally takes 45 minutes. But they got me there at 2.5 hours, and I'm alive today. So I don't need this Francis Stephen Hayes in my face with his blown-up DD-214 that I know he doesn't have. I've talked to the Commandant of the Marine Corps. I've talked to the Sergeant Major. You start digging the truth out, Don Nikoloff, and you know for a fact the people come out of the woodworks and chastise the messenger.
Yes, I know.
Okay? Well, here's the truth, ladies and gentlemen. We have documentation that the USS New Orleans was one of the ships at sea in April, May, or the first week of June that was infected with the H1N1. How do we know this? Because they can't lie any longer, because Thailand has now got the infection from allowing a group of school children on board the USS New Orleans as a tour.
That's at Phuket, right? Phuket, Thailand?
Yes.
Okay.
And I got the memo from the former national president of the United States Coast Guard, a petty officer association. And then I got confirmation from Dr. Betty Martini. And the subject was all about the Phuket students getting the swine flu after they had visited the USS New Orleans and took pictures, and what most of you guys, most people don't understand is when these kids came on board, no one in this school had been sick. No one in Thailand had the flu. No one. And while they were on board, obviously on any naval vessel, when they're parked at a foreign nation, the ship's complement are on leave. They're out there in the city getting some their land legs back, flirting with the girls, visiting the bars, going out to the trinket shops. Some of them are on, with their cameras going out into the jungles, whatever, close by, doing their thing. There is the only complement of crew members that are left on board is usually the duty roster for that day or for the next couple of days, which is works out to be just about a fourth of the full complement. Well, that one fourth of that complement, they make sure that the people that come on board through a tour get fed and get snacks and cookies and candy and muffins that are cooked there in the galley. What these kids didn't know was that this entire crew had been infected and had overcome the swine flu at one point, and there were still four or five men, maybe eight or ten, I don't have an exact number, that were still quarantined in the medical facility in that part of the ship the children didn't go to. That's fine. The United States Navy has got one of the best air filtration systems on board every ship, regardless of whether it is a destroyer or an aircraft carrier. You cannot, the air from one end of the ship to the other end of the ship goes through four or even five air filtration processes and through a light system in which the germs, they're normally killed by everything. I mean, it just kills everything. But the kids came down with the flu anyway. How many? It came, at first, it was just two to three or four. And how did they get it? We don't know, except they went on board this ship. But maybe, just maybe, one of the cooks remained contaminated, and maybe the cook was able to pass on the germs with the cupcakes that he made and gave to the kids. Maybe it was the utensils that were used to that the kids ate off of. We don't know. I don't know. I'm not a biologist, a microbiologist. I have not a clue. I'm just a dumb Marine out here. And I'm following up on grabbing the truth, contrary to what Richard Stone wants to do or Frank Stephan wants to do and bad-mouthing me. Mm-hmm. And I'm tired of it, and that's why I'm bringing their name up. They want to confront me. I live in Little Rock, Arkansas. Come here. We will settle it on the front yard.
Drew, I have a question here. I give you an opportunity to catch your breath for a second.
What breath?
You mentioned the USS New Orleans. Did that ship drop anchor in Balboa, Spain? Is that the ship that went to Spain?
Nope. See, that's part of the lie.
Okay. That's why I'm asking you the question.
That's part of the lie. This ship never went to Balboa, Spain. This ship never left the Pacific. And Balboa, when they say that when the men that had the flu, when they came ashore in San Diego, they went to the Naval Hospital at Balboa, California.
Mm-hmm.
Not Balboa, Spain. Balboa, Spain has nothing to do with anything that was originally brought forth.
Well, it may have had something to do with the 1918 swine flu. So.
Oh, yeah. Now, wait a minute. Now, that's a horse of a different color. That's 90 years ago.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I just brought that up just because that was circulating around there.
I understand that, and I'm glad you did. I mean, it's great. Let's get the baseball bat out here and start walking around, knocking all the ants off the table. Okay, I'm getting tired of this. Now, how far does this go down? We've got a Dr. Betty Martini, who is basically has cured a lot of naval personnel. We have officers and chief petty officers, and I'm going to quote one chief petty officer. "I have no doubt that this can be true. We, quotation marks, in the Coast Guard, just had an outbreak at our Coast Guard Academy in New London, Connecticut, a couple of months ago. And it was not covered. It was not covered by anyone, but it was covered up in the news media immediately. 20 cadets had the H1N1 flu. No one knew about it. No one in the press knew about it. I don't know if they contacted it through the vaccine that was given or not. But our government does lie. And, of course, for years they have used us, GI," and they, he comes in, he's in quotation marks, he puts, I mean, in parentheses, he puts GI means government issue. "They have used us for years as their test subjects before giving anything to the general public or even letting know the general public that we have a flu virus or a flu vaccine. The Navy, the Marine Corps, the Air Force, the Army, the Coast Guard are not men anymore. We're guinea pigs."
Now, just for the sake of the listening audience, I want to point out that the H1N1 is the swine flu, and the H5N1 is the bird flu. So when they say they came down with the H1N1 or the swine flu, that's what we're talking about. The pigs aren't flying around, you know.
Not in my world, okay? Now, I got another one here from George. He comes in and says, "My gut feeling also agrees that this is true. I have traced the chips. I have traced the ships from San Diego to Puckett. The children toured the ship that got sick. The pictures of the Goodwill tour have now been removed off the net, which were originally posted. There's no reason for this unless the flu got out of the bottle. The United States government always lies. That is the given. It doesn't even have to be checked out. Anybody that works with the United States Marshal Service, anybody works with the national, with NCIS, if they say that this is not true, they know they're lying. They're part of the problem and not the solution. There are two captains on the USS Boxer. There is the captain and the commodore. A chief petty officer is just like a sergeant in the Marine Corps. How many chief petty officers are on one of the ships, specifically the USS New Orleans? At least a dozen. And on the Boxer, there happens to be at least 100. When you have a complement of 6,700 men, you've got about 800 or 900 chief petty officers. How did they attach a name to the guy? I never heard anything on Drew's show or any other radio show or in print about what the man's name was. The women were protecting themselves, abiding by the laws that govern women that are married to the military, not to discuss movement, ship movements, or deployments. The USS Thatch and the USS Girdley were two other ships, and the fatalities that were mentioned on Drew's show could have easily have come from those two ships and moved over to one other ship that was brought to San Diego to have the disembark. Throwing a name out there of an officer, a captain in charge of a ship, tells me that, especially since he was alive and since he was running in a marathon, tells me that there is a major cover-up. There is an officer dead, and somebody out there knows who it is, but can the family come forth and talk about it and lose the benefits that he had bravely worked for 20 or even 30 years?
Again, the families. The families are penalized for telling the truth.
Right. There's a breakout in other places like nightclubs where sailors go, especially in Singapore, especially in Puckett, I understand.
Either Fouquet or Fouquet, but
Fouquet.
Yeah.
Phuket.
Yeah.
I understand two university students have now died in Phuket. Phuket.
Say Fouquet.
H1N1. Well, I can't read. I'm tired. I've been up since 4 o'clock this morning. It's eight. It's here. It is. It's midnight.
I'm not trying to take advantage of that.
I know. Anyway, of H1N1. I'm trying to read this, and sometimes it's even blurry. Let's see here.
I'm getting IMs about that already. So think of foo. Say foo first, okay?
All right, we'll foo man chew it, okay?
Okay. I want to make a point here, Drew, just for a second. Okay, this ship dropped anchor, and the sailors went on shore to do whatever they did. Now, what's to say the same thing can't happen when they come back to the States, when they set port here in the United States? Likely for a longer period of time, especially. What is the likelihood of the same issue mushrooming like it did there with those children?
You have to repeat that. You went over my head in one ear and went out the other end. I didn't hear a word
okay.
You said.
Okay. When this occurred, this contamination, obviously these children in Thailand contracted the swine flu just from having been on the ship, whether it was because they made contact with contaminated surfaces, maybe in the mess hall or on utensils, as you mentioned, or in the food itself, or by touching the people, shaking hands, or being led by the hand, which might happen very naturally. When these ships return to the United States, the same issue is at hand. They run the risk of contaminating the public.
Well, that's true. Exactly. And here's the big kicker about this entire thing. Obviously, the ship itself is not going to be dismantled and brought out to the public, but the men will be. And obviously, the men that are on board these ships, they've got some form of immunity because it's not being passed from one to another, or maybe they've all had the flu. Who knows? We know in the medical annuals that there is going to be 10 to 20% of the public, whether it's 20% on board a ship or 20% of the general public in a city, that's going to have natural immunity. That's what God does that with all diseases. 20% of the masses are going to have something natural to combat whatever is killing the masses.
Yeah.
Even the Black Plague in England, in Europe, the Black Plague, there were people that literally could walk around and pick up the bodies and move the bodies to the burn where they burned them, and to clean up the area that never got sick.
Yeah, yeah. It's the same way with poison ivy. You know, I know people that get poison ivy just from looking at it, and I can touch poison ivy.
Drew's world. I can't even get close to it, but I had a guy in Vietnam, he'd go over and sleep in it.
Well, he wouldn't have to worry about you waking him up, would he?
No, I wouldn't even get close to him. Wherever, I'd look out there and I'd see where Josh was. I'd say, okay, I need to stay away from him.
Now, back to a serious note. I'm reminded of Annapolis at the Naval Academy now. There was a leak of 13 affected people, but you discount that number, don't you?
Yes, I do.
And what are the more exact figures that you've been able to come up with?
The latest figure I have is 39 were taken to the medical facility, and all shore leave from Annapolis was canceled. Okay, we have learned that there has been of the 39 that are sequestered off. There were a rotating number. It's actually 39, but there's been 13 that came in with it, and they walked through the flu and were able to be released in just a couple of 3 days because they didn't have whatever they had either wasn't H1N1 or their immune system combated it to the point where they were in and out in 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
But there are 39 that were locked up in the medical facility for going on 10 days. Now we don't know, we do know that the civilians working there were given, rooms to stay in. They weren't allowed to leave. And this is two nurses or three nurses and one doctor that are medical staff at Annapolis, but they're contract laborers, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But they were not allowed to leave to Annapolis. In other words, Annapolis became a lockdown.
Yeah.
They still did. The men and the women that are in Annapolis, they still go to school. They still do their homework. They still go to the mess hall. All the food that is brought in is the trucks are brought to the gate. The drivers get out of the trucks. A midshipman gets in the truck and drives it over to where the goods are taken out of the truck. Normally, a lot of 18-wheelers will bring in loads of food or material to the midshipman, and the men that drive those trucks will come in with two workers, and those two workers will unload the truck. That's not what's been going on the last 2 weeks. The trucks are driven up to the gate, and one of the midshipmen who has knowledge of how to drive an 18-wheeler, he comes out and gets in the 18-wheeler and drives it to where it needs to be unloaded, and then drives it back out. And here's the big kicker. When he drives it back out, they come in and they spray it with something that's like a gas. It's like a white smoke.
Fumigating it, yeah.
Okay. Now, these are things that are going on there. Now, what else is going on? I don't know. There are between places around the United States. And it really bothers me that very few people are actually taking this seriously. The H1N1 is not that bad. It really isn't. The flu isn't that bad. But you take the vaccine shot, and you're going to die.
Yeah, you see, there are lots of people eating cookies and drinking milk and eating muffins all over the country that aren't coming down with this. But you have these pockets of people in the military getting it, and they're getting the shots. Now, I want to shift gears a little bit. By the way, we got an IM into the network. Gary from Arkansas says it's pronounced Phuket. So let's just spell it Phuket.
Phuket.
Maybe it's
called Phuket. Okay, we got the Phuket. It's like baby poo.
and the cat, a little baby. Okay.
Well, we got a poo and the baby's pooing on the cat.
All right. In terms of some of the people that are filing lawsuits, we're getting these little whisperings of lawsuits being filed by various people in different parts of the country. Not much information is coming out, but we've heard a couple of cases where these cases are being dismissed under the usual, well, you don't have standing because you haven't been injured. Now, I use the argument that when a person solicits a murder, for example, and often when this is the case, there's an arrest made because there's a sting operation going on by law enforcement. In other words, an informant tips off the police, hey, so-and-so asked me to kill my next-door neighbor for this particular reason, this is on my conscience. I don't want to see my neighbor killed. They asked me if I would do it. They offered to pay me $10,000. And so they may tell that person, well, go back and say, you know, I can't do this, but I know someone who will. And they conduct the sting and they arrest this person once the solicitation is documented, whether it's on film or it's a tape recording or whatever, a combination of all those things. Sometimes it's in writing that this occurs. Solicitation to commit murder is a crime. And when you have a media covering up, and I'm saying these forced vaccinations are just that. This is premeditated murder. Or it's a crapshoot, if you want to call it Russian roulette. It's playing Russian roulette with people's lives for financial profit, for financial gain. And it's the same as a solicitation to commit murder. To me, the Justice Department, in coming to those conclusions of no standing, is preposterous. And we need to do something about this. What are your thoughts on that? For some people who are into legalese, this seems like a stretch. But to me, it's a very simple, logical argument.
Bind them down by the Constitution. Enforce the Constitution. And I don't know, when you say, is there something we can do? We're trying to do it with a Continental Congress meeting this month. Setting up the vote to send 3 delegates from all 50 states for a Continental Congress. This is not a con, ladies and gentlemen. This is a Continental Congress. And there's some states are organized really well. Some states aren't. Arkansas isn't organized worth a flip, primarily because everybody in Arkansas has got their personal vendetta out there on, well, the Tea Parties are doing a good job. Well, I tried to get myself as a phone bridge, phone call meeting set up twice a week, and the most I ever got, most participation I ever had, after putting it out and literally begging 8 radio stations in the state to run an ad for free. That we were going to have this conference, and how many people heard about it? I don't know, but I only had a maximum of 9 people show up at any one time. And you just can't, I walk away from what's going on with the Continental Congress because, one, I haven't got $250,000 to go out there and organize the people in 67 counties and put together the vote to put it out. And I don't think it's fair to send 3 people to represent the population of the state of Arkansas without the people of the state of Arkansas knowing about the Continental Congress properly. And chastise me as you so desire. I'm one of these people that believe in all of the people getting together and knowing what the truth is. And when it comes down to what you're saying here, Don, is, these people that are in government are breaking law. Everybody wants to blame the government. Stop. It's not the government. It's the people in the job that are holding the office, whether it's a sheriff, a mayor, a dog catcher, a governor, a lieutenant governor, a Supreme Court justice of the federal district court, or a Supreme Court justice of the state court. They have all taken an oath to abide by, and you have to hold them to that oath. And what is that oath? That is the contract. And that contract is valid. So they they put their hand on a Bible, or they raise their right hand and simulate that they've got a Bible, and they say, Almighty God, I'm going to defend the Constitution from enemies, foreign and domestic. That is a contract. It is a verbal contract. They don't have to sign nothing. It is a verbal contract. And that contract is good pursuant to the Uniform Commercial Code. And nobody, I repeat, nobody's got the guts to stand up and put these people to task in mass. And I mean in mass. I'm not talking about 1 or 2 lawyers. Most lawyers won't do squat. 99%. Won't do anything. They're too afraid to lose their 7-course dinner, i.e. their hot dog and their 6-pack. So they don't want to do anything. It's just like in the Marine Corps and the Navy, the brass, the ones that's walking around with a scrambled egg on their hat and their spaghetti on their sleeve, they don't have the gonads to stand up and say to the long-legged Mac Daddy, "No, sir, I want to see evidence that you are duly a human being. I want to see evidence that you have a birth certificate. I want to know that you were born on this planet and where you were born. And then I want to make sure that you were born on a land of pursuant to the Constitution, which I'm supposed to abide by." And that means if you weren't born on the sovereign territorial land of the United States of America, you cannot hold the office of the presidency of the United States. Therefore, you are a usurper. You are a fraudulent human being if you are a human being. You are fraudulent, period, until you prove to me that you have got your allegiance to the United States of America and you haven't surrendered that and taken passports and benefits and sworn allegiance to other countries and come back here and lie, as a Muslim is allowed to lie and say he's a Christian so to promote the Muslim religion by lying. I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. You're witnessing one mad Marine. I've had it. I'm up to my eyeballs with this. And I'm watching Navy men 18 to 25, maybe even 17 to 25 years old, dying around the world for nothing. They're not protecting American soil. They're protecting the cabal elitist fascist and the pocketbooks of the elitist, i.e. the Rockefellers, the Walkers, the Bushes, and countless other people. It's not just a single family. There must be at least 90 or 100 families just in the United States, and there's equally the same amount in China, equally the same amount in Russia, equally the same amount in France, in Italy, and maybe double that amount in the United Kingdom. The world is being taken over, and they're telling you these lies so they can reduce the population. And when's it going to happen? It's already started. There are three countries in the world, ladies and gentlemen, the most populated three countries in the world by order. India, 1.72 billion people. China, 1.61 billion people. And this one's gonna scare you. The third largest populated country in the world, the United States of America, 311 million people. One-fifth the amount of people of the two largest countries in the world. And yet, we are the third largest in population-wise around the world. And way down the list, with the largest landmass country in the world under one government, is Russia. And they don't even have 200 million. They have 191 million people in their population count. And you can take the United States and put in Russia three times. You can take the entire population of the planet and give every man, woman, and child one quarter of an acre. And on one quarter of an acre, you can put a 800-square-foot house. And that one quarter of an acre and an 800-square-foot house will have enough land on it to where they can square-foot garden all the food they could possibly eat for themselves forever with non-hybrid seeds.
And they could fit that entire population
in the country of Australia and still have the Northeast Territory of Brisbane empty.
Yeah. Well, you've covered what must be done. And I want, the reason I asked you that question, because I see the media as conspirators in this. They use the excuse that, well, they don't want to lose their advertisers. Who are their advertisers? Well, the same ones behind the bird flu, the swine flu, the human flu, all of the adjuvants that they put in these vaccines, the pharmaceutical companies. Now, If we can, we can go on and do a whole show on this, but I wanted to touch on this thing in Hardin, Montana.
And I want, before we get to Hardin, Montana, you said the advertisers.
Oh, yes. Okay. Go ahead.
Let's look at the advertisers. Who were the advertisers in the 1960s, ladies and gentlemen, when you watched the Red Skelton show, or you watched the Dick Van Dyke show, or you enjoyed the Sunday night Bonanza program, or maybe you enjoyed one of the other entertainment programs of the era that came about during that time? Do you ever think about who the advertisers were?
Can I answer that for you?
I'm gonna let Don Nikoloff name one, and I'm gonna name the other two.
Okay, the cigarette companies was one.
The tobacco industry.
Yes.
The next closest one was the cleaning supplies industry. And the third one was the toothpaste industry. And the cleaning supplies and the toothpaste industry were basically aligned together with pharmaceuticals.
Mm-hmm.
Pharmaceutical company that was out there, they were heavy into the cleaning industry. Another pharmaceutical company out there was heavy into toothpaste. And then the fourth one was the automobile industry.
Yes.
And that was it. That was the main players on radio, television, and newspapers. And then and who else was advertising at that time? Mom and pop.
Yeah.
Mom and pop whatever. Grocery
now
store.
We always had historically food advertisers, but that has taken a backseat to technology today.
Food advertisers, even in the 50s and 60s, didn't even make up the top seven advertisers.
Yeah, yeah. But it's always been a staple in advertising.
But it has always been in advertising, dating all the way back to the 1930s.
You see, wholesome foods have been replaced by fast food industries, you see, where they can get toxicity.
Well, see, and this is something else. People can't relate to the fact that McDonald's and Wendy's and Burger King and churches and what's the other chicken guy? Kentucky Fried and Popeyes, that's all fast food. They may be one big economic being, i.e. churches is one big individual chicken company. But the bottom line is they're all fast food. And when you look at the fast food industry, the reason Americans are fat is because of the fast food industry.
Oh, yeah.
Stop and think about it, ladies and gentlemen. You want to save $4,000 a year in your family budget? I'll give you a classic way to do it. Stop drinking lattes on the way to work. Stop buying donuts on the way to work. Stop buying donuts on the way home in the afternoon. Stop going out to lunch for a fast food lunch, whether it be a Subway, a Church's Fried Chicken, or a hamburger at some other location. Fast food, even in major restaurants, it's all fast food now. To go in and it's cooked in heavy grease, you don't know what they're cooking in the kitchen, and unless you're in a really high dollar restaurant that grows or that puts everything together from the raw state, and those restaurants are few and far between. Classic example: I paid for a girl and her two children to go to dinner. She didn't go, but I paid for it up front for them to go out and have a dinner on her birthday. She declined, but the dinner would have cost me $87 before tip for three meals at a restaurant that served wholesome, homegrown vegetables and organic seed-fed meats, organic grass-fed meats. Very expensive to eat out, ladies and gentlemen. But going back to what I'm telling you, if you stop eating at the fast food restaurants and bag your food, make your home bread, make your bread at home instead of buying the processed bread that's nothing more than chemicals, and start eating food vegetables from scratch instead of from a made-up, already pre-cooked meal that's got nothing but fat in it and MSG, you take a good hard look at the women and the men in Russia. They don't have this. The women look 20 times better at the age of 40. Matter of fact, women between 40 and 45 in Russia, the vast majority of them, would make Miss America cringe to look as good. Anyway, there's other things to talk about, and one of those things is what's going on up in Hardin, and I got some new information that you might not know about. So you lead the audience into this, and then I want to let you know about the Attorney General of Montana.
Yeah, okay. Well, on the night of the 28th of September this year, there was a flurry of emails going around landing in people's internet mailboxes, and none of them had any names attached to them or affixed to them. There was no attribution as to where this information was coming from, but these were red alerts, Red Dawn scares, so to speak. Think of the movie Red Dawn, where you have this communist takeover of America, pockets of America up in the mountain regions, very much like Montana, where communists and communist sympathizers from South America were parachuting into the land. Well, this was a little bit different story, but very, very fear-mongering in nature, and the facts weren't adding up. There were claims that the city council in Hardin, which is a town in southeast, along the border, southeast Montana, on I-90, that the city council had voted 5-0 to get rid of the county sheriff. Well, a town cannot do that to the county sheriff. So that was the first lie. And so a red flag went up, but not the red flag that the author of that email had intended. So I spent a couple of minutes and was able to find out from the Bighorn County Sheriff that the story was untrue, that he hadn't been voted out of office, which is constitutionally impossible in the state of Montana. Not without an uprising of major proportions and people ending up in jail, I'm sure. But the rumor was put out there. And in addition to that, there was a description of a police force that arrived in 12 blacked-out Mercedes-Benz SUVs, the typical PSYOP type of vehicle that you would see around a restricted base or around a nuclear site or, guarded by private contractors that act like they're God's gift to law enforcement, harassing people, tasering them, arresting them, maybe torturing them, maybe even murdering them. We've heard stories through the years of this occurring all over the country, and yet we routinely turn the private contracts to guard these facilities over to companies like Wackenhut, for example, which is an Israeli company. It's run by an Israeli. And that this is occurring in our country in and of itself should be enough. But now we have this story that this police force arrives in a town of 3,400 people, a farming community, that doesn't have a police department, doesn't have any crime. The only crime we've heard that exists of any measure is maybe an inebriated or drunken bar patron coming out on the street and seeing a young lady and saying something like, wow, you look good, or maybe doing a cat call or something like that. That's as about as bad as it gets. Or that somebody might get a traffic ticket from the sheriff's department for going 29 in a 25-mile-an-hour zone. They didn't need a police force, yet the issue was it wasn't about the police force. It was about an empty prison. Someone had built a prison originally, and this is where I sank my investigative teeth and my research skills into who this was. I was able to find out that there were actually four companies involved in raising the funds, $27 million, which we later found out the facility, which is a prison, a 464-bed prison, was built at a cost of $20 million with $7 million left in the kitty for operating expenses. Now, the bonds were issued to cover this. In other words, this was going to be paid for by the public eventually. But my concern was no one was mentioning who built this facility. No one was mentioning where the money came from and why was a prison sitting there for 2 years with no residents in it. It had staff at one time, and the media reports were saying that the last members of the staff of this company that was running the prison, so somebody had to be running this outside of Hardin. They didn't have a police department. They had engaged in private talks to have a privatized police force or security company guarding this empty prison and eventually maybe a filled prison. And as I dug deeper into the story, I found out that they had intentions of bringing the prisoners from Guantanamo Bay into that little farming community in Montana. That didn't occur. However, the police force showed up. This is when the email came out on September 28th. Now, we know it was a lie about the highest law enforcement official in the county being removed by that little town's city council. We know that that was a lie. That was a gross exaggeration, whether it was intentional or just disinformation. It doesn't matter. That was not who was behind this. And as I dug deeper, I found several companies. There was a company called Community Education Centers, Inc., was involved in the initial construction. In fact, they manage and lease these properties to sheriffs with some of their cohorts. There's another company called Municipal Capital Management Group, Inc., out of Dallas, Texas. This other company, these companies have offices. Let me just say, put it this way, Drew, to be brief. They've got offices in Marlboro, Massachusetts, one in Connecticut, in New Jersey. There seems to be a lot of activity of this nature happening in New Jersey. They have 12 facilities that they manage in the state of Delaware. Tiny little Delaware has 12 prisons. And they do this under the guise of re-entry into the community, where they do drug screening. That's one of the things that they capitalize on. Now, this Community Education Centers, Inc. bought out a company called Civigenics. Civigenics has a guy who is in charge of their marketing as far as their advertising goes on their website and other publications. I was able to locate in about 15 minutes of total research. I came up with all this information. Bob Prince. So happens there's an Eric Prince who's the CEO of Blackwater. And this police force shows up in Hardin calling themselves American Police Force. Who the heck is American Police Force? They have a leader. They have a CEO who is a Serbian national who claims he's a naturalized American citizen.
Wait a minute. I got before you go too deep on that one, I've got some information from California on him. Michael Hilton is the name.
Well, that's the name he's using. This is an alias. He's got many.
I understand.
Many.
But wait a minute. Hear me out. Hear me out. I mean, you're jumping out there. Let me bring this up. This is,
okay.
This is from the Marines that are working in the Sheriff Department for the largest Sheriff Department in the United States in Los Angeles County.
Okay.
Okay, and they say Michael Hilton formed in Santa Ana, California, the American Police Force in March 2009. Okay? Hilton has a decades with an S, long track record of felony fraudulent activities, and he has spent several years in California prisons on grand theft charges. He is a native of Montenegro, and he uses 17 aliases and pronounces that he is from Serbia, but he's never left the United States.
Yeah, well, we're getting lots of information. Now, one of those aliases is the name Maduna.
Correct.
That's a name that came up in my Barack Obama genealogy.
How many aliases you want to have here? I mean, the only alias that's not listed here is Drew Raines and Don Nikoloff.
Well, so is he using Kenadachi or Truat? No. I just throw that out there. Of course, the listeners know we're joking, but the Maduna name is one of the names that I discovered off of those pornographic photos of Stanley Ann Dunham by working with that code that was in the corner, lower right-hand corner of one of those photos. And it's the same group of people, you see. They were supposed to have been from Yugoslavia. This is the money laundering, organized crime ring out of Central Europe, you could say.
What they're doing with Hilton is they've made him the front man because of his charm and finesse to be able to manipulate people and hypnotize them into his will. I mean, he took one girl who had a promising career in advertising and writing and public reporter for TV station. She walked away from a lustrous career because she was only making $37,000, and he promised her $60,000, and she's actually out there on his side right now, even after all this fraud information has been coming out.
Yeah. Now, when we it was a couple of days ago. I can't even remember what day it was, but I was on Truat's the story behind the story. That's the name of his show on the Rents Radio Network, 1 hour show, and we brought out some information, and we questioned Becky Shea, who was the former Billings Gazette journalist that they
That's
hired
the girl I'm talking about
for publicity, okay?
That's
and I asked her the significance of the address 1701 Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C., a block from the White House. What is the significance of that address there if they're a California corporation? And her comment to me was, well, we have virtual offices all over the country. Well, 1701 Pennsylvania Avenue is known to be a location of front companies for one of the alphabet agencies.
No. I differ with you. I beg to differ you 100%. 1701 Pennsylvania Avenue happens to house the front company offices of all of the alphabet soup agencies of the intelligence of the United States of America.
Okay, well, okay, you're correcting me on that word all. One for all. How's that?
That's where they are. I was there. I was there. I worked out of that building. I know what's there.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
So they cannot not know about American Police Force, right? There's no way that they do not know about that then.
It goes back to the old saying, who knows what and who knew it first and who's got the guts to say that they knew about it?
Well, I brought that out first as far as I know, so I guess
this is going to blow you away. The Attorney General of the state of Montana has launched a major investigation on the American Police Force. He himself has flown to Hardin, Montana. To investigate this with a staff of 12. His staff is also bringing with them an investigative researcher with U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank is the trustee holder of the construction bonds that were used to build the 464-bed facility.
And the reason they have a trustee is because those bonds went into default in May of 2008.
Exactly, and the trustee wants to know what the heck is going on.
Yes.
Because Mr. Hilton, a.k.a., what name you want to use, promised to bring police protection to Hardin. Population of Hardin? What's the population of Hardin? Would you believe 2,100?
Well,
not 21,000, 2,100.
Yeah, I've read reports there's actually 3,400, but what's a few more hundred, you know?
There are a lot of people moving in and out, but most of them moved out.
The initial plans were to create 100 jobs. You're not even talking necessarily about security jobs, but to run that facility. And you see, this was to start. Their intention was to have this be a private prison, but then make the security force at the prison the local law enforcement agency in a town that didn't need it.
Oh, here's a correction. I got an IM correction here. The population of Hardin is 2,100, but the metropolitan area, as many of you city dwellers call it, that's everybody that lives in the surrounding area. There's 3,500 people that make up the community of Hardin.
Okay, so when, you know, ballpark, it's between 2,100 and 3,500 people.
Population of the city itself is 2,171.
Okay, now in addition to this, this prison sits on a 40-acre parcel of land, and according to Becky Shea, they had intentions, although I've seen it reported in mainstream-type media articles, 5,000 to 10,000 acres of land to build a police training force. Now, this is absolute insanity. We have policemen out of work throughout the country. They don't need to be trained. They certainly don't need to be trained in the mountains of Montana to operate in cities and towns throughout the country if the jobs are available. But this money, this massive money, is being spent on a prison and on these security forces and building up what sounds more like a paramilitary attack group.
The attorney general for the state of Montana said the exact same words. This looks like a private paramilitary organization being built. For what reason? A private military paramilitary organization to train people that already have training? I am not very pleased at all with the American police the American Police Association masquerading as if they were the police for the city of Hardin or any other city or area in the state of Montana. I am not pleased that the American police force has moved in and said that they were going to provide equipment to the city of Hardin that has never needed a police force. In the last 10 years, they've had one murder. It was solved by the city marshal in 4 minutes because it was a woman that shot her husband in the bed with his lover.
Was that Mr. Hilton by any chance?
No. Couldn't say.
Oh, maybe that's a low blow. Maybe I should be fair. Well, you know, it stinks to high heaven, you have to admit, and it smacks of Blackwater. Blackwater certainly got a lot of international negative publicity, and certainly in this country, not just amongst the patriot groups, but the people that fell victim to their dirty tactics. And now some of the accounts, and I don't know that these are true, but supposedly when this group of 12 vehicles arrived, they already engaged in stopping and harassing people in the town. I don't know if that's true, but it's worth mentioning that was part of the contents of the first four email accounts that were coming out.
Well, here's one. Here's one that came to me. It says that Drew, don't forget to mention the fact that Mr. Hilton has got outstanding civil cases that he has lost in California, along with a doctor that he took for granted and used, Joseph Carella, and they have losses of $1.1 million times three just here in L.A. and Orange County.
Yeah, well, he's proclaimed to be a naturalized citizen who happens to use the double-headed phoenix symbol.
One of his aliases. That's one of his aliases. I'm looking here at the aliases. You ought to see these aliases. He also claims to be a Mexican nationalized American.
Okay, now this is a stretch here, but does Miodrag A. Dokovic sound like it's a Mexican name?
Well, that's just one of the aliases.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I read here. This is a quote from a fellow business associate, Joseph Carella, an Orange County doctor and co-defendant with Hilton in a real estate fraud case. One of the fraud cases in which he lost $1.1 million in a judgment. Okay, he comes in. He says the guy's brilliant. He can make you buy ice cream and the temperature is 20 below, and you're in the short sleeve shirt.
Well, somebody's palms got greased in putting this deal together, and I would venture to guess that the $27 million, or at least portions of it, at least the $7 million in cash left over after the construction was finished, ended up in some derivatives and hedge funds.
You were mentioning the feats of the paramilitary out of Europe. It says here, as for Hilton's military experience, according to the L.A. Department of the Sheriff, including his claim to have advised forces in Iraq and Afghanistan, several associates interviewed knew of no such feats, knew only that Hilton had talked of being in the special forces in a Greek unit decades ago.
Yeah, well, you know, there's more homework that we've got to do, but I appreciate that new information that you added.
I mean, that's special forces in a Greek unit decades ago. How old is this guy? Obviously, he served 7 years in the penal facility in California in the 90s. He served another 5 years in the penal colonies of California that went from 98 to 2003. I mean, this guy's 13 years. Even if he was a young man when he started started all the fraudulent activities, let's say hypothetically at the age of 25, he's already over 40. He's been in jail over 12 years.
Well, the big question here, this is probably the $64,000 question or maybe the $27 million question. Who hired this guy? Who recruited this guy?
Unbelievable. I have no idea. Your guess is good as mine. It's really all about money because right here from the sheriff of L.A. County, we have discovered that the jail deal in Montana is worth $2.6 million a year to its investors.
I had calculated in my head probably $2.7 million. I wasn't far off.
No.
And that's not talking about all the revenue flowing through there, you see. This is where these facilities across the country, and there's a whole list on this CEC site, and that's the Community Education Centers, Inc. On their website, they have a listing of new facilities. And if they take it off the website, you let me know. I'll send you a copy. I saved it.
Here's from the L.A. County Sheriff's Office. Hilton's criminal record began in 1988 when he was found guilty and arrested in Santa Ana, California, for writing bad checks in the amount of excess of $1,000, which is a felony. In 1993, pursuant to the bad checks, Hilton was sentenced to an additional 6 years in prison after serving 1 year and 2 months in the local county jail, all on a dozen counts of grand theft and attempted grand theft, as well as other charges, including illegal diversion of construction funds.
Okay, now you're hitting on something here. I'll bet you. And Santa Ana it rings a couple of bells with me. You got Countrywide Home Loan there. You've got First American Credit Co. And I guarantee you, Drew, on the list of the other properties that are owned, when you're doing genealogical research and you keep coming up with the same addresses that are now, I can match up with these lists of these prisons and these correctional facilities and these, they're sort of like rehabilitation centers for a drug and alcohol recovery programs. This is all, again, who conducts the big money work at these facilities? It's the pharmaceutical companies. It's the drugs and the injections and all of the sadistic stuff that goes on. They can turn these people into guinea pigs, just like you were talking about the military and the swine flu shots. It's
well,
the same
now,
thing.
You said earlier that you talked to Becky Shea. Listen to this. Hilton has refused to return calls even to the Attorney General of the state of Montana. The American Police Force attorney, Mazar, M-A-Z-I-A-R, M-A-F-I, Mazara Mafi.
Mazir Mafi?
Oh, you got it. Whatever. That's
okay.
His lawyer.
Okay.
M-A-Z-I-A-R, M-A-F-I.
Okay.
Referred all questions to the, listen to this, to the company spokesperson, Becky Shea. When asked about the court records detailing Hilton's past and the investigation on the company, Shea reported, quote, "The documents speak for themselves. If anyone has found public documents, the documents are what they are," unquote. Three SUVs that Hilton bought and brought to Montana have yet to be turned over to the city of Hardin, which he promised he would do, and let's see, which does not have a police force of its own at this time, but is considering putting one together. At least one of those SUVs is now being driven by Becky Shea, the former reporter who abruptly quit her job at the Billings, Montana Gazette to work for the American Police Force as their public officer. She at present time is in Billings, Montana, driving an SUV, having promised a $60,000 a year salary.
That's right.
Which, you know, $60,000 a year from $30,000, I can understand why she quit one job and went to another one.
Yep, and supposedly she had written about this whole issue of this prison and the fact that it's been sitting there vacant. You see, they can turn this into whatever they want. They can make it a concentration camp.
Wait a minute. They don't take an oath of office to the Constitution of the United States. That means they don't have to do squat. You go to jail in their prison, they can beat the snot out of you.
Well, I think Montana has something else to say about that, though.
Well, the Attorney General definitely has something to say for it, because he physically is in Hardin. I don't even know. Hardin, 3,500 population in the whole metropolitan area. I wonder if they even have a hotel.
Yeah, that's a good question. Maybe we can find that out for the next show.
They may have a motor lodge. I could just imagine him staying overnight at a motor lodge where do you have luggage? Oh, you don't have any luggage? That's no problem.
Actually, they do have one because they supposedly had all these vehicles parked out in front of their hotel. And one of the local townspeople made a comment, you know, "Wow, that's really a nice-looking vehicle," or something like that. I mean, that's the typical American response, not even understanding what's going on in their own backyard.
They've got at least one. They've got at least one restaurant owner, okay, and they have a real estate office. Okay.
Is it a fast food place? That's what you need to find out. Or is it a home cooked meal?
Well, it doesn't say. It just says a restaurant entrepreneur.
Yeah. Well, you know, it stinks to high heaven. And I'm sure you'll agree. And there's definitely a link to DynCorp. Okay. There's a link to DynCorp with this. So. This address in Washington, D.C. says a lot. It says a lot. And And I have to say that Miss Shea's response to me when I asked her what was the significance of that, she didn't have anything to say other than they have virtual offices all over the country. Well, then we need to sound the alarm about that. Then we need to discover where these virtual offices are. Because if they're doing this in Hardin, Montana, they're doing it all over the country.
You can say, hey, and I already know that there's places in Virginia where there are some small towns in Virginia where the population is barely 3,500, and there's at least two prisons there. And my sister worked at one. She told me, she said that she could easily have walked out the front door of one prison and gotten a job in another prison, but she'd had enough of their backstabbing and wanted to come back to St. Louis. She mm-hmm. thought that East St. Louis was even a safer place because it was just a matter of time before some lunatic was going to get out of one of those four prisons within 10 miles of each other and go out and start murdering and killing people. She was a school teacher there teaching prisoners how to read and write. They couldn't, and pursuant to the Virginia law. And her comments to me was that some of the prisoners in there should be shackled 24/7.
Mm-hmm. Drew, I want to take the closing moments here, and I want to connect some rhetorical dots. Do you remember a congressman from California by the name of Gary Condit?
Oh, yeah, I remember. I forgot that was a question. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Do you remember his girlfriend's name? This was a married man.
The one he was running around with that was murdered?
Yeah.
Don't remember her name, but I remember that.
Chandra Levy, okay? Chandra Levy worked for the Bureau of Prisons and had some really, really sensational information that she was about to come out with before her demise.
Correct.
Do you think it had anything to do with this or Blackwater or this prison scheme?
I have no idea, but I know that he himself literally just disappeared off the face of the earth there after about 2 years.
Yeah, but it's coincidental, maybe just a little bit, that he was from the state of California.
Well, yeah.
I'm not clear. I think maybe.
But everybody's got to be from somebody. I mean, just like everybody has to be. At some time in their life, everybody has to be 22 and 33. And, to associate somebody with the number 22 being a number of the Illuminati just because they turn 22 years old, that's horse bucky.
Oh, I'm not even mentioning that. You brought that up.
I know I'm bringing that up, but it goes to the same thing. Just because somebody's born in California or lives in California, that doesn't mean that he's rhymed in with this. I mean, we only have 50 states. Everybody's got to be born somewhere.
Yeah, but.
Except the long-legged Mac Daddy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think that's an interesting dimension of that. I thought of that earlier this evening, and I wanted to bring that up because we forget these things. But she had some rather sensational information about the Bureau of Prisons that she had come across, and maybe she saw this plan being developed.
Well, I wasn't really in. I mean, you have to understand, Don, I wasn't into this at that time when that situation went down. I was into, I was into the truth for America, but I wasn't into talk radio at all. I'm not a talk show host. No, give me a rifle, give me a bayonet, give me a pencil, put me out to war, give me a camera and a Cessna, and let me do some aerial photography for recon. That's my forte. I'm not a talk show host. I'm just a loudmouth Marine out here that's had enough and that knows how to kill people and was trained to kill people and has killed people, but in war. But I'm not out here killing people for the pleasure. And, for 4.5 years now, I've been a talk show host. I'm not familiar. This isn't my forte. I'm just out here talking and uniting people to get the truth out, and maybe somebody will listen. That's why you see all the passion that I have, because I'm ready to die for America, not for Iran, not for Afghanistan, not for Timbuktu. I'm ready to die for the 50 states here in the United States of America. As John Wayne put it, the greatest country in the world.
Well, you're a great guest, and you are a great talk show host, even though you don't consider yourself one, and you've got a following all over the world, and you should be acknowledged and commended for that. So I appreciate you being on the show, and I look
forward... Was I on the show? I thought we were just talking on the phone. I didn't know I was on the show.
Yeah, we did go to airtime tonight.
Okay.
We just happened to have that connection, so... evidently, we weren't interfered with. There was a lot of truth that came out tonight, and I guess the powers that be are interested in hearing what we know. Now,
can everybody I ask you a
knows.
Question?
What's that?
Can I ask you a question?
Sure, go ahead.
When you say goodbye, am I going to have to stay up for two more hours?
No, you're not.
Okay.
And I want to commend you for doing such a great job on these very, very complex issues with...
Now, ladies and gentlemen, what we're talking about, what he's laughing about is, what you don't know about is, when he goes off the air, he wants to talk for two more hours.
No,
and I want to get some sleep.
Come on now. I'm acknowledging your fatigue factor here. So.
All right, let's go. I'm here. I'm
okay.
Here. My website is the three W's, AMD. That's Alpha, Michael, Delta, Dot, Echo, Lima, Quebec. Ulysses. Wait a minute, how you still listening? India. Tango. Yankee. I'm tired. It's Rich spells amd.elequity.com. And I'm going to put up my original electronic engineering website because of people like Richard Stone passing lies about me and saying that I was being sued. And I had to take my website down. That is a bald-faced lie. Richard Stone, my name is Drew Malone, Reigns. I'm the third member of the Reigns family to have it. I live in Little Rock, Arkansas. I was in the United States Marine Corps in 1967. I left the United States Marine Corps, honorably discharged, decorated United States Marine in 1977. I served in Vietnam, Cambodia, England, Brussels, Germany, and France, with a little two-week stunt in Moscow. And if you don't like it, Richard Stone, stuff it.
Wow, what a sign-off. Drew, thanks for being on the show. We got to say goodnight to our listening audience. I look forward to your next appearance on Evident Footprints. And for those that would like to make a note of it, I'm opening up my calendar while I buy some extra seconds here.
Do you want me to shave to come to the next show?
No, you don't have
okay.
to.
All right.
You're going to be on Wednesday the 7th of October. So
can I bring a set of dice?
That's up to you.
Well, a 7 come 11.
Okay, well, we don't broadcast on Sunday, so you leave the 11 out, okay? 7 is good enough. You want to bring the dice, go ahead.
Well, I wasn't planning on doing anything on Sunday. See, you know, I don't know what everybody else does on Sunday. I work on Sunday. My Sabbath day is Saturday.
Yes, I hear you, as is mine. Okay, Drew, time to say goodnight. Thank you very much. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBS Radio and our special guest, Drew Malone Reigns III. Be sure to visit his website at amd.elequity.com. And his show, A Marine's Disquisition, airs Monday through Friday on Wind Talkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com. You can get it on the Internet by going to blogtalkradio.com. Just look for A Marine's Disquisition. Comes on at 4 p.m. Central Time.
Central Time.
Yes, 4 p.m.
That's
Central.
2200 GMT time. Good night, Gracie.
And I want to thank Wind Talkers and blogtalkradio.com for carrying the show tonight. And special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound. Most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. I wish everyone a night or day filled with peace, love, and light. And for those of you about to hit the rack, have a good night.